This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Brad Powers, professional college football bettor, will join us. We will discuss the college football semifinals, as far as the show plan, do college today, and then NFL Friday. Full preview, Aaron Schatz on to discuss all of the games, go game by game with him, get his thoughts on some of the awards, see what we can pry out of him in terms of information. But today it will be college. We'll have Brad on in a little bit, and I'll just give you my thoughts on the two games. And it is, man, what a fun weekend. Thursday night game, Friday night game for the two college, and then Saturday with the two NFL playoff games, three on Sunday, then one again on Monday. So a lot of football, and it was weird on Monday to look up and not have a game. And it was smart by the FCS to put their game, and I'm sure it did really well in terms of the ratings, in terms of the betting handle compared to how it usually did. Because from what I remember, it used to be on like a Saturday or maybe a Friday night would be their playoffs. I never remember them having it on a Monday, and it was smart. It was a standalone spot. We're craving football. We're itching for football. We're used to watching, you know, football on Monday nights. And not only we're used to watching football on Monday nights, just think back the last few weeks, from the time bowl season starts the week before Christmas. So like December 16th, 17th, you had bowl games every day, college football playoff games, NFL games pretty much every day of the week, everything. There was just football on these last two, 3 weeks. There has been football on all day, all night. And to look up on a Monday night and remember, oh yeah, there's no more games. That was definitely a weird feeling. So if you watched the FCS, you got your little fill of football. So that was a smart maneuver to put that game in that time slot. And that was ended up being a pretty good game for anyone that watched it. But let's get into the games here. And this is Thursday night. This is Notre Dame, Penn State. I like the under more than anything. I lean towards Penn State winning. I just think, and I like the under, I think pretty much for all of these games that these two teams have played in the playoffs, all of them, meaning four. Notre Dame, Indiana, I like the under. Penn State, Boise, I like the under. And then I think Notre Dame, Georgia, that played out is an under too. I forget what I said on this podcast as opposed to other shows, but all four of these games, these teams have played in the playoffs, have been unders, have been pretty comfortable unders. And I just think these teams are mirror images of each other in terms of like, they're not going to kill you with their passing game. They're not going to torch you with, you know, 80 yard touchdown catches. They just don't have a lot of explosiveness. Meanwhile, they're both very good defensively. So it's going to be a lot of long drives, probably going to be tough to score in the red zone. I think if you got to 20 plus points, you'd have a very good chance to win this game. 23-20, 24-17, we're looking like 45.5. So I like the under, and I like the Penn State side more. I just think Aller, the Penn State quarterback, to Warren, that duo, that combination is better than anything Notre Dame has. Plus, Love is banged up, the star Notre Dame running back. Notre Dame has a couple days fewer rest. Notre Dame is coming off a physical game against Georgia. Meanwhile, Penn State, you know what, Boise is just not as physical as Georgia, and Penn State had a couple days extra rest, having not played since New Year's Eve. So I think Penn State wins a close game. It is. Saw this or read this somewhere. This would be the first time Penn State plays in a national title game, meaning, hey, from the time the BCS started, then 2014, they expanded to four. Now we're expanded to 12. Obviously, they've won national championships and played four national championships. But as far as like officially a national championship game, this would be their first appearance. So that is, if you're of a certain age, you just remember Penn State being so dominant for so many years. That is a little weird to think about, but that would be the case if they win. I do think they'll win. I'm surprised you're getting 2.5. Maybe it's the fact that, hey, they beat Georgia. The Notre Dame's a little more of a public team. I have a hard time. I just think this is like a pickup game. If anything, a pick'em game. If anything, I would make Penn State like a 1 or 2 point favorite. And I do not mind. I know you're not supposed to tease college. I do not mind teasing Penn State up to 8.5 with, I don't know, the Rams in college, the Rams in the NFL, the Bills in the NFL. Penn State plus 8.5 in a teaser, I really don't think is a bad look. Again, teasing college is not a good habit, but it should be a close game, should be a low-scoring game. With the standalone games, the lines are tighter, more accurate. So, hey, you're getting 8.5 in a game that I make a toss-up game. I think that's a good – but that doesn't mean it can't lose. Of course, it could lose turnovers. It's a close game, and Notre Dame separates the end, wins by 10. Of course, it's one game. Anything can happen. But I don't mind Penn State as a teaser, but I do think Penn State wins a close, low-scoring game and advances to the title game to take on – Ohio State. I have a hard time seeing past Ohio State. I know if you're going to go based on the season-long numbers, and hey, what was the look-ahead line for Ohio State, Texas 2 weeks ago, a week ago? Ohio State would be a short favorite, but you know what? It's not a week ago. It's not 2 weeks ago. Ohio State has basically looked like an NFL team the past couple weeks. Smith is incredible. They've changed their MO on offense where it's not just, hey, run up the middle and try to bully you and 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They're throwing it all over the place. They're good on defense. Haven't been impressed with Texas. So Ohio State scoring 31, 34 plus points. I actually like the Ohio State team total. I think over more, as much as anything, 29.5, 30.5, you know, shop around, pick your book. You can kind of pick your juice with these lines, pick your line and pick your juice. But Ohio State winning the game. Boy, I wouldn't be surprised if they ran it 34, 24, 34, 20, something like that. Lean towards the over too. I think Ohio State is just going to score a ton of points. It's going to open the game up where Texas has to play keep up. Maybe if you put Ewers in situations where he has to play keep up, he can turn it over and that could lead to more points. As long as they're not, you know, in the red zone or on the other side of the field. I think we'll get a lot of offense. So I like Ohio State in the over. I like Penn State in the under. And I think we're looking at an all Big Ten national title game. I don't know how much juice that would get nationally. Ohio State, Penn State. You do have new blood with Penn State. Ohio State is obviously a blue blood, but I don't know. Like, are there great storylines for the game? I'm not sure if that's like a, you know, a great national title game, but it's fun. It's interesting that you're going to have, you know, after we've had these all SEC title games, it'll be fun to have a Big Ten title game. So I would enjoy it. I just, man, it's hard to see anybody but Ohio State winning this championship. Ohio State not holding up the trophy here in a couple of weeks. Just, I can't quite see that, barring some game where, you know, Howard just has a meltdown or Ewers plays the game of his life or turnovers or something. To me, Ohio State is a good, you know, touchdown plus, better than everybody. If you look at the look ahead lines, they are, if they play Penn State in the final, it's going to be a 7.5 point line. If they play Notre Dame in the final, it's a 7 point line. I don't know if there's a ton of value there, but you know, taking Ohio State like right around even money, -110 to win it all, I don't think that's a bad look either. I'd be surprised if they didn't win. I think this is look, they've got a really good defense. They've got a ton of guys on offense. They've repaired the offensive line. They changed how they attack teams. So I do think both Big Ten teams win. I'd be more surprised, even with the spread, I'd be more surprised if Texas keeps this game close. I just think Ohio State keeps doing what they're doing. And it's just, I know it's a recency bias, but man, with what they did to a pretty good Tennessee team and what they did to Oregon, where the game is basically over before you can blink, it's hard to look past that. It's hard to get that out of your head and just say, hey, that's just one game, you know, just two games. That's, boy, those are dominant performances. So hopefully we get some fun games, because let's face it, from an entertainment standpoint, Arizona State, Texas was fun. That got to overtime. That got crazy at the end. But other than that, man, Penn State, Boise was okay. Georgia, Notre Dame was okay. The first four games in that first round were a waste of time. I know it was fun to have the games on campus. That Notre Dame, Indiana, we were all excited to sit there that Friday night and watch it a week before Christmas. It had a good vibe being in Notre Dame, all that. That game was over pretty quickly. You know, Penn State, SMU was a waste of time. Ohio State, Tennessee was over right away. These games just have not. Clemson, Texas was okay, but man, that was a, you know, Clemson scored right away. Then it was all Texas from that point forward. Clemson flirted with covering, but you know, you get the idea. We have not had a lot of dramatic moments in these playoffs. It really has been a disappointment, and it just goes to show, the more teams you add, it doesn't really matter, because college football, even in a year where there's parity, all of that, and it would have helped if they seeded the thing properly and seeded the 1 through 12 instead of giving the Arizona States and the Boise byes and setting up Texas and Penn State with easy pass. But this is just – in the 14 playoff, we had a lot of blowouts. In the 12-team playoff, we had a lot of blowouts. So hopefully we – you know, you never due for anything. Hopefully we're due for a couple of good games in some of these teams. I think Penn State, Notre Dame will be close. I think that'll be close. I think that'll be a good game. So maybe that's the one where, you know, tie game, 5 minutes to go, something like that. So hopefully the drama increases. Hopefully these games will be fun. But again, Thursday night, Friday night, well, all weekend, Monday night, I got to enjoy it, because we're starting to, you're starting to get to that point where you can count how many football games are left in one hand in the NFL. And obviously there's three left in college. So got to enjoy it while you can. We'll see what Brad Powers thinks. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More Podcast. We have three college football games left in the season to discuss it. Nobody better than this man, professional college football better. Hit the books, bet the board, you catch him. ESPN, he is everywhere. He is the great Brad Powers. Brad, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. Doing well.
All right, let's get into it. Notre Dame and Penn State. We're looking at some like 2.5s. I'm curious if we'll get to a 3 here. I like the under more than anything, 45.5. I just think that similar teams where they're not going to torture with their passing games, not going to have a lot of explosive plays. To me, this is kind of a grimy, like 23-20 game. I think if you get in the 20s, you're probably in good shape to win this game, barring turnovers. I think all four of these games between these two teams in the playoffs have been under, so these have been under teams. How are you viewing this game, and what do you like?
Yeah, no disagreement for me. I seems obvious, but that's all right. You know, the obvious under one in the Notre Dame Georgia game. Now, I will say I think Penn State's offense has probably a little bit higher ceiling than what Georgia did against Notre Dame. But boy, I don't see much of a pathway for Notre Dame's offense to have much success in this one, particularly with Jeremiah Love banged up. You know, wearing a substantial knee brace the last open practice that we've seen. So if he's limited, they're going to have a backup. I keep in mind Notre Dame, two touchdowns, one via kick return against Georgia, and then the other short drive after a turnover. I think you hit the nail on the head as long as we don't have a bunch of turnovers in short fields, which can sometimes happen. I think we're in safe with the under. So I agree with that one. Also prefer the Penn State side here. I don't, you know, I think if all things were equal and both teams were on the exact same rest off the exact same caliber of opponent, I think I'd lean Notre Dame, but we're not. Penn State, two extra days prep, and Notre Dame off a very physical game against Georgia. Well, you know, Penn State had their way physicality-wise against Boise State. So lean Penn State, prefer under, first half under as well. And if you can get the Jeremiah Love rushing props under, I think that's also a good bet.
35.5. I was pulling it up before you even mentioned it. 35.5, is that?
It's starting to get low, but I think there's a chance he might not play that much at all. So, I mean, you think, oh, that seems really low. Well, he had 6 carries for 19 yards against Georgia, and I think we're looking at something similar here.
The only guys listed here, I'm trying to profit off, hey, Love's not healthy, bet his backup, but his backup's not listed. Would they pivot to Riley Leonard rush yards? Looking at like 46.5, figuring, hey, if it's, you know, third and long, drops back to pass, nobody's open, he's going to run. A lot of design runs. You could see him getting, you know, 10, 12 carries. Obviously, in college, you have to worry about the sack yardage being held against them. But is that bettable or no, the Riley Leonard?
I think bettable? It's bet. Yeah, I think it's bettable. Okay. But again, you brought up the good point. I mean, sacks would be an issue. And obviously, you're going up against, if he plays, now Abdul Carter on the Penn State side. Look, you know, he's questionable. We'll see how much or how effective. I think he'll play, but let's see how effective he is. But and we saw it with Riley Leonard against Georgia. I mean, he was their best offensive weapon via the run game, ran for, 90 yards. So it was 90 yards passing, 80 yards rushing. So, yeah, he's going to get more carries than he's used to.
So you got Penn State winning a close game here?
Yeah, Penn State 21-20. That seems about right to me, but yeah, obviously it could go either way. The one thing I will say, Penn State's a little bit more volatile than Notre Dame when it comes to turnovers. I mean, Penn State plays a clean game, they're gonna win, but the Drew Aller doesn't always play clean, so that's what concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, and I like the rest angle aspect, and I do think Aller to Warren is probably a little bit better than anything Notre Dame has offensively. I think you and I are around the same age. I read this or heard this somewhere where Penn State wins, they will be playing in their first national title game since, you know, the BCS. Then we went to 4, now we're in 12. That is just stunning to like say out loud and just to think about when you think about how dominant Penn State was for years.
Yeah, I mean, at least in the BCS era, right? They haven't been at the top. I know. And then we didn't have always a de facto national championship game in the poll era. So yeah, I mean, it's, they got an opportunity. Now they've also had a great pathway for a team that lost two games this season, and they got the benefit of the doubt and getting another decent path here against what I think is going to be a banged up Notre Dame team.
Yep, absolutely. The other game, Ohio State, we're looking at some 5.5, some 53.5. I think if you go based on the season long stuff, all right, this line's maybe a little inflated. This line was going to be short. Now it's you're getting near a touchdown. 53.5, I think, might be a little light. Maybe it's square, maybe it's recency bias. I have a hard time fading this Ohio State team that's basically, you know, looked like an NFL team the past couple of weeks in the playoffs. They just killed Tennessee. They absolutely destroy Oregon. That game's over 10 minutes in. So I don't know. Maybe it's inflated, but Ohio State winning the game by 7, 10 plus. Ohio State team total over. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. Keep Ewers in third and long, induce him into some mistakes. So I'm on Ohio State here. Do you have a strong feel for this either way here?
Well, I think, again, you broke it down. It really depends on where you fall. Are you a full season data guy? I mean, typically that's what we like, professional bettors. The more data points, the better. Or are you recency bias, which typically is where the public falls. But in this case, I'm more with the recency bias, because Ohio State fundamentally is a different team. They changed up their offense a little bit, changed up their defensive scheme a little bit. Maybe they're in today's day and age, because this is a brand new era. You're going to play more games than ever before. You got to win four in a row. Maybe there was a little bit of them playing possum in the regular season where they weren't fully optimized. Or maybe just the Michigan game was such a bad data point that it finally woke them up. They were in the lab there for 3 weeks cooking up some stuff on offense and defense. It's not only Ohio State and what I've seen from them the last two games. It's what I haven't seen from Texas. I haven't seen consistency in their performance, particularly their run game. Couldn't run on Arizona State when they had an advantage of like 60 pounds per man. I don't see them having success against this Ohio State defense that has been consistent all year and has played. The offense is getting all the publicity. The defense has played lights out as well. So I'm with you on the Buckeyes. Lay the 5.5, even though, obviously, if this game is played before the playoffs, it's probably pick them. So that concerns me a little bit. But if Ohio State plays anywhere near what they had the first two games of the playoffs, how do you not bet them in this one? Quinn Ewers is going to have to play the game of his life. He's been inconsistent. And Sark's got to call the game of his life. And that's to keep this game, I think, going down on the wire. If they don't, then I think it could be another blowout for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and you brought up something. You're like, hey, Ohio State, they could have been playing possum or they could have changed philosophy. At least my opinion, I think it's more of a change of philosophy. I get the sense with Day and Kelly. Kelly likes to run the ball between the tackles. I just have a hard time believing, hey, let's throw changeups all season. Then when the playoffs come here, we'll start pumping fastballs. Not that they're not that smart. I know the way these football coaches are wired. I don't think they were getting that cute with it. I just think like you said, that was kind of a wake-up call. Like, man, we got to do something different here. And they did.
Yeah. No bigger wake-up call than losing outright to your arch rival as a 3-touchdown favorite. But I still think there should be, maybe it's not philosophy, but I think snap count-wise, I would want to keep, because we're seeing teams that, like Notre Dame, Penn State, some of these teams are really banged up. I do think moving forward, we're going to see more guys, not playing 70, 80 snaps a game. They'll be less optimal in some of the big favorite roles.
Yep. That would make sense, especially, when you're the top teams and you're going to the playoffs are in good shape. I do think we could see some more load management, which would not be great for the sport, but hey, I think there'll be some gamesmanship, going forward. Any props you like? Jeremiah Smith, up to 86.5. I know that's, again, that's creeping up there, but do you want to be sitting there watching this game with an under ticket? Maybe there's some concern. Hey, they double, triple, say, hey, anybody else can beat us, and then your ticket's in trouble. That being said, it'd be over or nothing for me. Is that over too much?
Nah, it's over or nothing for me. Again, we've seen him dominate the last two games. His performance in Rose Bowl is as good as it gets from a freshman wide receiver. I'd take him number one in the draft right now. At least in this year's draft, if I was drafting. So no, I do not want to be sitting with an under ticket. Now, if it gets a little bit higher, then it's probably more of a pass situation for me.
Yeah. 5.5 catches, over under for him. Any other props look good to you? Do you play more props when there's only two games, the lines are tighter, and there's more availability in terms of props? Do you look more to that market?
I can, it depends. I mean, per state, and there are some states. I'm from Ohio, and I have people betting for me there. You can't bet NCAA player props there, so in that particular state. So it depends. The love stuff I do like on the Notre Dame side in the other game. I tend to maybe make what I would perceive to be square bets, something I never bet in the regular season. I think the teaser of Penn State up to 8.5 and Ohio State pick, something I wouldn't do in the regular season. I have made that. I have personally made that bet in this round because we have limited options.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was, I brought that up on another show. I was like, you're not supposed to tease college. You give all those prefaces, but look, I'm just going to tell you what I bet. I tease Penn State and the Rams. I tease Penn State and the Bills. I think that's a one possession.
I love it.
Low scoring game. I don't see anyone pulling away. Could you lose? Sure, but you could lose in the NFL teasers just as easily. So there's no like hard fast rules. It's not a good habit to tease college, but when you have a low total when the lines are sharp, I'm not opposed to it either.
Yeah, well said. And we got limited options, and there's probably a little degeneracy at this point when we're normally looking at a board of 50 games and we're down to, we're down to what, 15 games total in all of football for the rest of the year, NFL and college combined. I do like the action.
Yep. Absolutely. Look ahead lines. Ohio State would be laying 7.5 to Penn State, laying 7 to Notre Dame, and then vice versa. We're looking at a field goal game if it's you know, if it's Texas versus Penn State, if it's Texas versus Notre Dame, Texas is going to be laying 3 or 2.5. Any of those seem off to you, or those all seem right? Anything worth a bet?
So shop, I've seen some look aheads that have Ohio State in the double digits. So if I would, yeah. So make sure you shop on that. It kind of depends. I mean, we've seen, look at the look. I mean, I would say Texas, I'd be more willing to lay it, because what are you going to be most likely doing if Texas beats Ohio State?
Massive.
Well, most likely, unless it's an injury or they're plus 4 or 5 in turnovers, we're upgrading Texas's power rating big time from that one more than the other games. So if any of the ones I'm betting and I haven't yet, it's laying the points with Texas against Penn State or Notre Dame.
A couple weeks from now, Ohio State's going to be holding up the trophy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless something disastrous happens. I mean, we've been waiting for a team all season to look the part, and they've looked the part the last two games.
Better way to play it and shop around and look for, I don't know, are they still even money, minus 110, something like that? Or just,
I think you can find, yeah, they're minus of most shots, but I still think even money. I don't think, again, you can make worse bets during the season. So, yeah, that's, I would be relatively shocked if they're not holding the trophy when it's all said and done. So you're telling me even money on something, I'd be shocked if it lost. That says that there's some value there.
That's better than money line rollover, or people just,
that depends. You got priced out. It's relatively close though.
Yeah.
I probably am a guy that I see this is in the weeds. Usually as you get closer to game time, you're getting more recreational, better, and then event better, because we're down a couple games. So what do they want to do? What's the least, the most likely scenario where they can bet a little to win a lot? They're playing the underdog. And if you shop around, you usually can get cheap money line prices, whether it's the Super Bowl, the national championship game, on the favorite on the money line. So I think if you really shop really hard on the money line on both the semifinal championship game, the rollover will end up paying more, but it's nothing like it's substantial difference, at least what I've been pricing out right now.
And a lot of people, let's face it, aren't great at executing that. They either forget, or they, you know, they'll bet on Ohio State, win one, and then they'll just lose it on something else and, you know, not follow through. So it's not always easily said as done. So that's a way to look at it too. Anything NFL you like?
Square, but the teaser of the Bills and the Rams is something that I played and given out to clients. Those haven't necessarily always won this year, but I already lean them both ways as far as the side as it is. And I mean, it's a typical Wong teaser. So that's what I played. Anxious, this Commanders Bucks game back and forth on 3 a little bit. I'm more prone to be on the dog on that one, especially if you can find a 3.5, even though you got maybe lay minus 120.
Yep, I'm with you. Definitely need 3.5. Definitely want to win if it lands 3. But yeah, I could see a scenario. I don't think these teams are that far apart, first off. And then I could see a scenario where, hey, yeah, worst case, not worst case, but Washington's down 10 late. And if you're getting the 3.5, you go in, you get a backdoor. Tampa doesn't have a great defense and it lands on 3. So who do you think comes out of AFC, NFC? Because you follow this NFL more than I think people realize.
Boy, the Lions are banged up, but getting that one seed in home field. And I don't think Ford Field gets enough credit as far as home field advantage the last couple of years. With that being said, Eagles, if they're healthy, again, there's a caveat there. I think they're going to be healthy. Eagles, and is anybody going to see, Kansas City's weird. I mean, obviously, statistical-wise, you want to fade them, and that's what the market does. But best head coach, best quarterback, best DC, home field advantage. I know they're trying to become the first to ever do it. I don't see a team out there, maybe Buffalo, but other than that, going into Kansas City and beating them. So Kansas City, Philly rematch from a couple years ago.
I have the last three guests. I mean, who do you have winning?
I'm going to go Philly.
Okay. No. The last three guests I've asked this of, they all said Kansas City versus Philly. The other two had Kansas City beating Philly. So
I'm going to go Philly. It's tough to win 3 in a row, especially the way the Chiefs are. They run a razor thin margin there. Where, you know, stuff has to line up, accordingly to them. It's not like they're blowing teams out in this run.
That's what's keeping me away from picking them is, man, so much of this is bounce of the ball. You know, yes. Niners could have beaten them. They were Flowers fumbled for the Ravens. Things have gone their way, and I wouldn't be shocked, man. If they're playing, if they play the Chargers in round 2, which I think is the matchup, Chargers play them tough. Harbaugh, yes. Herbert. I wouldn't be surprised if that's, a field goal game with 5 minutes to go, and then who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I hate the do handicap factor, but if you're going to run close games and it's been bouncing your way time and time, 15 straight wins and one possession games, sooner or later, it's not going to bounce your way. That's totally just agree. Statistical. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Totally agree. Brad, anything I miss? Anything else get off your chest?
No, man, I got nothing. I enjoy the what we have left of the football season. You know, I hate to see it go, but, you know, I'm at the point in the season where I love the buildup for the upcoming season. I love the draft. So there's never really a day off. But I'm looking to you know, evaluate teams in a different manner starting in a couple weeks.
Yeah, what's your process like? You get going pretty early.
I got to get going. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did now. I mean, you get going, then there's books that, I mean, hell, there was a bunch of win totals up in February last year. Now, am I going to be as aggressive as what I was last year? Probably not. That was kind of a mistake. I got some of the easiest winners that I've ever had, but also I had some losers and stuff that changed. The process never ends now.
Brad, appreciate it, man. Good luck on these games. Appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we'll do it again soon as the next season approaches.
Hey, look forward to it, and thanks for having me on.
All right, enjoy the games Thursday, Friday, college football, all weekend with the NFL. We've got a hell of a couple days coming up here, so rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Friday with some thoughts on the NFL, do an NFL playoff podcast Friday to have Aaron Schatz on for that. We will talk to you then. Rate, review, keep those coming. See you then.